This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. President Barack Obama and his Republican challenger Mitt Romney are back on the campaign trail today following last night's town hall debate in which the president was far more combative than he was in their first meeting.
So we're going to start today with an examination of just who took the greatest pummeling, the candidates themselves or the facts, particularly those pertaining to Massachusetts.
So joining us now to dissect the debate a bit is Boston Globe political correspondent Callum Borchers. Callum, always great to have you.
Thanks for having me again.
So let's start with one of Governor Romney's major talking points that went immediately viral. He used the phrase binders full of women. It became the new Big Bird and zipped across social networks and had its own Twitter account by the end of the debate with something like 12,000 followers. So, Callum, Romney made the comment when he was asked about pay equity, and he talked about staffing his cabinet when he was governor in Massachusetts.
All the applicants seem to be men. I went to a number of women's groups and said, can you help us find folks? And they brought us whole binders full of women. I was proud of the fact that after I staffed my cabinet and my senior staff, that the University of New York in Albany did a survey of all 50 states and concluded that mine had more women in senior leadership positions than any other state in America.
So, Callum, does that claim hold up to scrutiny?
Yes and no. It's sort of a mix. He's got the chronology a bit out of order. So these binders of women that, like you said, became such a viral sensation so quickly actually existed before Romney ever took office. So a women's group had prepared lists of qualified women who could potentially fill cabinet positions, whoever was going to become governor, whether it was Romney or Shannon O'Brien. So the notion that he came into office and then sought out these binders full of women is a bit out of order. But to his credit. Once he was in office, he did appoint many women to senior positions. I believe 14 out of his first 33 major appointments were women. That's close to half. And they included some big positions. I mean, for one thing, his running mate, Lieutenant Governor Kerry Healy, was a woman. His Secretary of Energy. So certainly women did play a fairly prominent role in the Romney administration.
Another point that came up last night about his time in Massachusetts involved the assault weapons ban that he signed when he was governor. So here's what he said.
In my state, the pro-gun folks and the anti-gun folks came together and put together a piece of legislation. And it's referred to as an assault weapon ban, but it had, at the signing of the bill, both the pro-gun and the anti-gun people came together because it provided opportunities for both that both wanted. There were hunting opportunities, for instance, that hadn't previously been available and so forth. So it was a mutually agreed upon piece of legislation.
A mutually agreed upon piece of legislation. Is that right? And Callum, was President Obama correct when he said Governor Romney was for an assault weapons ban before he was against it?
So it was essentially a mutually agreed upon piece of legislation. It was a compromise. Of course, neither side gets everything that they want. But he's generally right about that characterization, although I would note that I've talked to advocates and lawmakers from that era who say that Romney really played little role in forming that assault weapons ban law, except for signing it at the very end. But here's the quick backstory. There was a federal assault weapons ban passed in 94 that was set to expire in the fall of 2004. So in the summer of that year, lawmakers became concerned that the state ban was going to become invalid because it borrowed language from the federal law, which might not exist anymore. So they said, we need to reinstate or repass, basically, a separate state ban. And so they did that, and they made some concessions to gun owners. A couple of things. One was that a gun license got stretched out from being a four-year license to a six-year license. And they also created a new sort of gun license review board that all of a sudden had the discretion to issue gun licenses to some people who were previously banned from having them. So gun owners actually called this a major victory for themselves. So when Obama says that Romney was in favor of an assault weapons ban before he was against it, that's sort of true on the surface level. But in context, that assault weapons ban that he passed really was just an extension of current law, and actually gun owners were quite happy with it.
Interesting. Briefly, I want to turn to coal. Last night, the president attacked Mr. Romney for promoting coal power, despite the fact that he took a pretty tough stance against it, at least in one case during his governorship.
Governor, when you were governor of Massachusetts, you stood in front of a coal plant and pointed at it and said, this plant kills, and took great pride in shutting it down. And now suddenly you're a big champion of coal.
And so here's what the president is referring to. Back in 2003, then Governor Romney was involved in a showdown over the future of the controversial coal-burning Salem Harbor Power Station. Let's listen.
But I will not create jobs or hold jobs that kill people. And that plant kills people. And PG&E has been given a notice to have it cleaned up by 2004, and they have thumbed their nose at the people of Massachusetts and Salem Harbor by not cleaning it up on time.
So, Kellum, was President Obama correct to suggest that Romney's stance on coal has changed since he was governor? And is he right in his assertion that the governor took great pride in closing that plant?
Well, a couple of things. You know, there's no question that Mitt Romney's energy focus has changed since he was governor to where he is a candidate now, right? I mean, so as governor, he talked quite openly about the value of renewable energy. He mentions that on occasion now on the campaign trail, but really his focus is on energy independence. And we heard it again today when he was in Chesapeake, Virginia, focusing on coal, oil, and gas. So that is a change of tone. But let's keep in mind, we heard that spirited exchange between Romney and some of those coal workers who were trying to shout him down. Mm. That particular coal plant was one, you might remember this phrase, Anthony, the Filthy Five.
That's right.
One of those five plants in the state that was identified as like a super polluter, basically. And as Romney said in that clip, you know, had sort of been given notice to clean up its act and had not yet. So that was really what he was complaining about at the time. And he saw it more as a public safety issue as far as air pollution, less so an environmental issue. And furthermore, the plant remains open to this day. So Obama's assertion that he took great pride in shutting it down isn't quite accurate either.
Well, Kellum Borchers, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
That's Boston Globe political correspondent Kellum Borchers with some context and fact-checking from last night's presidential debate.